Adventure Series by author John D. Hoffman. The first book in the series is The House Built on the Hill Can't Be Here, and it's also a movie.
Roger, that's the man I wanted to see. Could you come in for a sec?
What is it, boss?
I know this is your wife's off day. I didn't want to give you bad news.
What?
The contract that I had has changed, and they've cut my pay. So, effective immediately, I'm going to have to cut you and your wife's pay as well. I'm not going to be able to pay as a salary.
The full movie trailer can be viewed now on YouTube, and the complete movie will be ready in 2024. The second book in the series is Owe No Man Nothing But to Love Him, and it's also a movie. The book is available now on Amazon.com, along with his newly released Wealth Transfer book and movie, which is the third book of the Caden Rogers series. The Caden Rogers series by John D. Hoffman. Available now on Amazon.com. Author John D. Hoffman is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You today. Thank You for being so wonderful, so kind, so loving, and so gracious. Lord, we thank You for another day's journey. We don't take it for granted, oh God, Your goodness. You've brought us to another week. Danger seen and unseen, Father, You still brought us to this point. Even through the winding roads, the curves, the curveballs we were thrown, God, You still brought us to this day. And for that, we say thank You, oh God. Because we have breath in our body, God, we have a mandate to praise You, to bless You, and to give You glory. Thank You for being God and God all by Yourself. Thank You for moving by Your Spirit. Thank You for every provision that You've given us. Thank You for Your various modes of protection that You've kept us from some things that we don't even know You kept us from. And Lord, we thank You today. Lord, we thank You that You hold us up. You sustain us and stabilize us. When we feel like we can't go any further, God, You keep on blessing us. You keep giving us strength. You keep giving us what we need to fight on. Thank You, Father, for staying power. Thank You, Father, for standing power. Thank You today, oh God. Have mercy on us, God, where we've fallen short, where we've missed the mark, oh God, against You. Will You have mercy, Father? Forgive us of our numerous sins against You. Lord, we come before You today in this house, in this sacred space, asking You, Father, to meet us where we are, that Your Holy Spirit will visit us, and not just visit, but will take root, will live with us, dwell in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Lord, we need You today like never before. Various needs that we've come to You with, You know all about it, but You love for us to tell You about it, and we thank You that we've had an avenue to tell You all about it. And we ask, oh Father, that You remove the burdens, that You will ease our minds, ease our hearts, that You will bless us like only You can. Father, we have the best option, but the truth is we have no other option but You. We've tried it other ways, but there's just no better way than You. And help us, Father, to stay with You and to trust You, even when it's not easy to do. Lord, we ask You now that You'll share a word with us, that You will challenge our hearts, speak to our hearts, our minds. Our hearts are open, our ears are open to what You have to say to us today, oh Father. We pray, oh God, that Your word will do that what has been assigned and designed to do. It will bless us and lift us to a higher way of living and thinking and conditioning ourselves. Bless us now, Father, in this preaching moment. Will You bless me, Father? Will You speak with my mouth, think with my mind? I yield my instruments to You now in the name of Jesus. Father, when the smoke is clear and the dust is settled, we'll give You all the praise, not because we see it, not because we feel it, but because You're still God and You're worthy of all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we thank You and we praise You. And the people of God together said amen. 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 Good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be in God's house one more time. We thank God for this first Sunday morning in the month of September, that God has shown himself faithful and kind to all of us. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Who's been so gracious and wonderful to all of us and to all of our ministers here and to all the officers and members of this body and to all of you, my father's children. It is a privilege and honor to stand before you and to be in your presence, and even more so to be in the presence of God on this day. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all that God is doing for us, in us, and through us. Amen. We solicit your prayers today as we begin a new sermon series, a new series the Lord has laid on our heart to share with you, entitled The Files on Forgiveness. The Files on Forgiveness. We want to, next several Sundays, looking at the topic of forgiveness and what it had to do with us as the people of God. You want to begin with that on today, and so we solicit your prayers. Yes. Amen. There's a word from the Lord today from the New Testament passage, Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Book of Colossians chapter number 2. Thank God for a blessed week of revival on this week. Amen. Thank God for the ministry of Pastor Doug Randall. Blessed our hearts three nights this week. We give God glory for a wonderful worshiping encounter. Amen. Amen. Book of Colossians chapter number 2. And want to commence reading at verse number 13. Colossians chapter 2, commencing at verse 13. Are you there? Amen. And you find it. You find these words written thusly. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Would you look to someone next to you, look in the eye real quick, and say to him, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
oh neighbor,
check your account.
You
may be seated in the presence of God. Check your account. As we look, beloved, into this topic of forgiveness, I want to say to you today, first and foremost, you may hear me say this several times throughout the sharing, but forgiveness, the only one who can forgive is the creditor. The one who's in debt has no power to forgive. Only the one who is owed has the power to forgive. And as we look at the term forgiveness, I know that many of us, when I gave the sermon series, you began to think about all the people who have hurt you, all the people who have made you mad, all the people who have you frustrated, even right now in this church, the person that you're trying to avoid even now, the person you're not speaking to anymore, the person you're trying to avoid, the one that you have sold, that you're done with, you're through with. Because of what they have done to you, what they have said to you, what they have said about you. And you're in this church today and you're done with some folks. And you have made up in your mind and you tried to get God, you tried to use scripture by God touching your anointed and casting your pearls to swine. You have used so much scripture to justify you holding unforgiveness in your heart. At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, God has some things to say to us as it pertains to forgiveness. Amen. I would not stand before you and tell you a lie today and tell you that it's going to be easy to forgive because it wasn't easy for you to get yourself hurt. You can't get hurt unless you care. And I wish I could create a potion, a magic potion, some type of concoction, whereas you could be a Christian and then not care. But there's no such thing as someone being a Christian And then you have numbed yourself to the cares and concerns of your fellow man. You every day being a believer, you have to open up yourself to be hurt yet again. It's not an easy walk. If it was an easy walk, everybody would be doing it. The Christian life is not an easy life, but I cannot be a man of God and stand before you and tell you it's okay for you to sing, it's okay for you to preach, it's okay for you to speak in tongues, and you holding stuff in your heart toward other people. That God will not accept a lot of this that you and I are doing because we're holding and harboring unforgiveness in our heart. And before we look today at what people have done to us, I'm not going to minimize that, not going to deal with what someone said, not this day. I'm going to deal with that later on. But today I want to deal with the offenses that you and I have committed. That you and I, if you look at your hands, you will see some blood on your hands. You have not dotted every I. You have not crossed every T. You look good in church this morning, but you done said some stuff. You done some stuff. You done been in the wrong place. You done said the wrong thing. You hadn't always been right. And there's some old sins. There's some new sin. There's some middle-aged sin. There's some baby stuff that you've done. All of us today got to deal with the fact that we have a need for forgiveness. And before you can get right with people, you and I better get right with God. And what I want to share with you today, Father, that you're so concerned with people liking you. You and I are so concerned with what people do to us. But what about a God who's been good to you every day of your life? On your worst day, God was still there. When you didn't want to deal with God, God was still dealing with you. When you didn't want to give him praise, he was still there. When you didn't want to give him glory, he was still God. When you didn't want to love him right, he was still God. When you didn't want to be in church, he was still there. All I want you to do today is think about what you and God got going on. And understanding that we owe God praise. If I can't tell you anything else today, y'all, you can sit here and make up and justify not lifting your hand. You can justify not standing on your feet. But what I will tell you today is that the best of you, you owe God everything. The worst of us, you owe God everything. You owe God a shout. You owe God a praise. You owe God your best. You owe God a tithe. You owe God an offering. You owe God your everything. You owe God. You owe God. And forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, is a financial term. Forgiveness, if you'll let me be financial, let me be a little spiritual accountant for a second, that you and I are on the books. Every last one of us, from the time we were born, we start accruing an account. We're on what a book's called the sin account. And Paul helps us today in Colossians. He helps us talk about the book that we're on. And saying that we've got an account as well. We're on the books. Paul has to write this letter to the church at Colossae because they were brought about, they were infected, and they were infused by false teaching. There was false teaching in the church at Colossae because they were telling people that it's not about Jesus, it's about the angels. They were saying it's more important to be angelic, and it was not focusing on Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. And they were being led by and telling other people telling you what it's really all about. It was other people and false doctrines telling them what's most important. And so it was an influence of this thought process called Gnosticism. It was called Gnosticism, saying that everything that was not spiritual was evil. And saying that no way God would come into anything corrupt and evil. He would not even dwell in anything evil. Well, if that was the case, that would cancel the whole mission of Jesus Christ. Because he who knew not sin became sin. He became and took on earthly form. He came on and looked like me and you. So if that was the case, it nullifies Jesus. And this Gnostic teaching was focusing on being smart. And not being spiritual. It was focused on being smart and not being spiritual. And so there was some contention in the church at Colossae. And Paul had to show, and he highlights this, and he talks about the fact that Jesus is still the head. And that we ought to work to be more like Jesus. And so he talks to us today, y'all. And if you really want to be what God called you to be, you can't be like the preacher. You can't be like what you see on TV.
You can't be like your best friend. You better stop trying to keep up with the Joneses and learn how to keep up with Jesus. I wish I had somebody to help me. That you stop trying to keep up with the Joneses, but you learn that every day of my life, I want to keep up with Jesus. I want to be more like him, because if it were not for Jesus, I wouldn't be saved. If it were not for Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. But some of us got this thing twisted, and we think it's about other stuff, but at the end of the day, it's still about Jesus. And Paul talks to us. He tells the church at Colossae, he shares this doctrine. He says that this thing is about Jesus, and in Jesus you are complete. You're not complete when you get a degree. You're not working to be complete when you get money. Then when you learn how to be like Jesus, you can start to be more complete. It's the principle of spiritual maturity. And unfortunately today, brothers and sisters, I'm looking at people who have woken up a lot of mornings and gone to sleep a lot of nights. And I'm still very spiritually immature. Because we tell people what we would do and not what Jesus would do. And we tend to shift our thinking to what someone did to us. We tend to shift it to how bad you got it. There's a God who has been offended on a daily basis. The Bible tells us, and he tells us in chapter 2, verse 13, in verse 12, he tells that we've been buried with him in baptism. He's speaking to a group of Gentiles. They are not natural Christians, not natural Jews. They are Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles. But he says, that's not going to nullify you from being saved. Just because you ain't got external stuff right. He says what's more important is you having an internal circumcision. Having stuff cut off on the inside before you start cutting stuff off on the outside. And he says being baptized with him, you now belong to him. And it becomes a difficult principle for us to understand, y'all, because how do I forgive others? The first way you go forgive others is understanding that you've been forgiven. And I know you don't get that today. I know you don't get that because you don't feel forgiven. You don't look forgiven. But sure as I'm standing here, if you belong to God, you have been forgiven. And if you're going to understand today that you got to check your account. And when you start checking your account, now notice I didn't say check somebody else's. Because I know you know my business. And I know your business. But I wonder when the last time you checked your own account and realized how many I'm sorries do you owe? How many I apologizes do you owe? I know you've been done wrong. I know people been stepping on you. I know people been stabbing you in the back. But how many folks do you owe apology to? How many people do you owe a pardon to? How many times did you talk about somebody? How many times did you gossip on somebody? How many times did you lie? I know you've been lied on, but can you think for a moment about the times you lied on people? I know people did you wrong, but hadn't you done somebody wrong before? I know they ain't smile at you, but there have been times you ain't smiling. People. So before you start pointing your finger at everybody else, I dare you to look in the mirror today. I dare you. I dare you to look in the mirror. I don't want you looking through a window today. I don't want you looking through a window. We'll look at a window maybe next Sunday or third Sunday. Today I want you for the first time to look at yourself. And I don't want you to look at your hat. I don't want you to look at your shoes. I don't want you to look at your suit. I don't want you to look at your chain. I don't want you to look at your Bible. Because if it ain't in your heart, you ain't got it no way. I want you right now, I'm asking you with everything in me, to look in a spiritual mirror and see yourself. And be honest with yourself. Check your account. Today, it's about you and God. It's not about what somebody else did to you. It's not about the charges you bring against everybody else. Today, it's about you and God. Don't be trying to bring a co-signer. Don't be trying to bring somebody in it. Don't try to bring a reference. Don't try to bring your mama. Don't be trying to bring your daddy. This is about you and God. You got to check your account. If you go check your account, you'll see the first thing you're going to see is this. You're going to see the stain of sin.
Amen, Martha.
When you check your account and you check this thing right, first thing you're going to see on that ledger is every sin, a summary of your sins. It's going to be a summary because it, now I'm going to be honest with me. Ain't enough paper in a ledger to itemize all my sin. Okay, I'll get free today. Y'all might not get no help. I'm gonna be honest and say, ain't enough paper in the world, ain't enough ink and a pen to be able to itemize every last one of my sins. But I see the book and I can see a summary. Yeah, you're a sinner. You can call it what you want to call it. I missed the mark. Sin. You can call it I transgressed. Sin. You can call it I fell off. Sin. Y'all don't like doctrinal messages, but I still got to give you doctrinal messages. Because if you don't understand the doctrine, you won't appreciate deliverance. You don't have a clue. Some of you do. Others of you don't really realize what you're capable of. Paul says, you who are dead in your sins, you who, y'all missed it. Paul said, you who were, not you who are, you who were dead in your sin. Good God Almighty, this should have set the house on fire. I need to talk to three people, I'll be number four, who know that before God changed you, you were where you used to be. And if not for the power of God now, you would still be. Somebody ought to help me preach. And you who were dead, in your, look at it, look at the Bible. And you who were dead in your sin. Lord have mercy. Not you who were dead in sin. I want you, God says, to look at yourself and say for the first time in 20 years, I did it. I said it. I went there. I went where I wasn't supposed to be. Said what I wasn't supposed to say. Done what I wasn't supposed to do. Acted like I wasn't supposed to act. I did it. If there's some confession in the house, can somebody be honest with God, even in church, and be honest and say, Lord, I did it. It was not my mama's sin. I got my very own. It wasn't my daddy's sin. I did it myself. See, I want to tell you something, but y'all can't handle it. See, y'all don't like to be honest. And you got to be honest because sin feels good. Because it satisfies your flesh. Your every day you wake up with your sanctified, won't say amen self. Every day you wake up, you praying and you speaking in tongues, but it's still some flesh that want to sin. You want to cuss? You want to fight? You want to go crazy? You want to lay around? You want to drink? You want to smoke? It's flesh. And if you go sin, don't halfway do it. If you go sin, all the way do it. If you go get in trouble, go on, get in big trouble. Y'all too saved for me. There are two levels of sin. Maybe I can help you. It's two levels of sin. is sins of commission. That's what you did. And then it's sins of omission. That's what you didn't do. Because every last one of us got stuff we did wasn't supposed to do, and there's some stuff you were supposed to do, you didn't do. Boy, if you don't preach up in here, it's sins of commission and sins of omission. Some of y'all got a sin of omission right now because you've been in church for an hour, ain't lifted your hand yet. That's a sin. God been good to you all week. You ain't told him thank you yet. That's a sin of omission. Truth. You were dead in your sin, but you weren't killed in your sin. You were dead in your sin, but you weren't killed in your sin. I'm trying to help somebody. He saved you. He didn't leave you in the shape you were in. Something happened where you woke up. A stain. There's a stain on you. And you can't suit it out. You can't even shout it out. Matter of fact, the reason you ought to be shouting so much because you know the stain's on you. Some of us, the stuff we done pulled just this week, you ought to be grateful he let you come back in his house. And you go sit there with your arm folded, looking around, saying it don't take all that. Man, you can't tell me how to praise because you don't know how bad my sin condition was. And if God brought me out of that, you mean to tell me I ain't gonna shout? I'm sorry you ain't sinned as much as me, but I know how much I've sinned. I've got to give him praise. I've got to give him glory because he didn't leave me like I was. Sustain. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. In other words, for you super holy folk who brag about what you don't do now, Paul argues that you were born jacked up. You got a sin nature. And I thank God that when he saves you, he changes not your nature, but your name. And when you take on the new name, you change your own nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I'm looking at people right now who can't praise God because you the same old G. You the same old liar. You the same old cheater. You the same old fool. The same old dirt digger. You just done changed locations. Because if you done been changed on the inside, you just can't keep it to yourself. You just like Jeremiah. I got a fire in my belly. I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't hold my peace. Stain on you. You might not have done it, but you thought it. And in some cases, that's worse than doing it. Cause I need somebody to be honest. If folks really knew what you was thinking most of the time, they wouldn't sit next to you. They wouldn't have married you. They wouldn't have hired you. They wouldn't go to church with you if they knew what really be on your mind. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. Yes, God. You done thought it. You may not have done it. You thought it. May not have done it, but you watched it. You may not have done it, but you, like Paul, you held other people's coats. You got a stain of sin on you. And you can't come in here acting like you ain't got no sin on you. Because every day of my life, Lord, I'm just working to sin less. And when you're saved, you've been delivered from the power of sin. You've been delivered from the penalty of sin. And every day you grow in God and work in the word and stay in the word, you're working against the power of sin. But sin is still all around you. Sin is still on your mind. Every day you're battling not to sin. And then one day when God come back, when the Lord come back, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. You can rebuke it, it's still there. You can counsel it, it's still there. I don't receive that, it's still there. You got to stop pretending because you so holy, you ain't got to deal with sin. And really now, most of us ought to be shouting right now because the Lord ain't exposed. See, I got to move on. It's some people in this room who folk know what you did, so you don't even care if they see you shout. Because they saw you act a fool. But you learned, I don't care what people say no more. I'm going to praise God. Y'all saw me clown, now watch me praise. But there's others of you who trying to hide. Because you got people in this room who done say, I know what you did last summer. Got a stain. And you being dead in your sin, you did it. You was born messed up. You could have been born to the most holy parents. You were born in sin. You got a sin nature. You have to make a choice to make Jesus your choice. You've got to confess Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You got to believe it and then live a changed life. Then you're saved. Then you can brag about being saved. You ain't just saved because you grew up in church. And a lot of us are basing your life with God on growing up in church. It got quiet then, didn't it? You really don't know the Lord for yourself. That's why you wear out the church and wear out the preacher praying for you, because you have no idea how to pray for yourself. You don't have a clue what scripture to go to. You have a clue how to pray to God, because you never really grew up in God. You grew up in church. That's why we challenge all the young people, learn God for yourself. Learn him, form a relationship with him for yourself. Because a lot of what these grown folks done showed you is dead wrong. When you look at that book, you look at your sin book, you're going to see the stain of sin. You're going to see your nature. You're going to see all the stuff that's wrong with you. And can I be honest? It's some stuff still wrong with you. I don't hear so good. It's some stuff that was wrong with you, and since you've been saved, it's still stuff. You don't go to the liquor store and they don't refuse to sell it to you because you saved. You don't show them your Christian card. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't get this. As long as you got the ducats, you can get the buckets. Y'all help me preach if you can. You can't church your way out of some stuff. You'll see the stain of sin. And then you'll see that you've been saved from the sentence.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
When you check your account, you'll see that you got a stain of sin on you, and it don't look too good. And according to what the book looks like, there's a penalty that should be paid. And you know you ain't got the money because you're looking at all that you owe. There's no payment plan you can make. Looking at the books, you see the sin. You see just a summary. You don't see an itemized list. And you see, you check your wallet. You check your bank account, and you realize, I ain't got enough to pay for that. Because the devil tells you how valuable and fun sin is, but he don't tell you how costly. Sin is. This thing got quiet in the church now. Truth is, you can't pay for your own sin.
Amen. All right, all right.
Amen.
I want to be honest with y'all, but y'all can't handle nothing.
Come on,
I want to talk to three people I'll be for who sinned so bad that you try to church your way to cover it. I knew it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I knew y'all was gonna play me funny. You know where you was at last night. And you feel so bad knowing that it costs so much. Let me get to this church first thing and try to wash that off. And how do you do ministry with a spiritual hangover? Because you ain't got the symptoms of sin on you, but you got the side effects of sin. There's guilt on some of you today. There's frustration on some of you today. There's anger because you know at the end of the day, you knew better. And you still chose to do it wrong. Oh, help this house, Lord. Let me usher my way out. Let me preach my way to cover it. Let me sing my way to cover it. Let me doctrine my way to cover it. Putting that white on, knowing how black your heart is. Because when you look at the account, you look at that summary of your sin and you see you can't pay it. But then you check the bottom line and you're not innocent, but you're found not guilty. It's right there in plain black and white. I owe this. But then I check, and I ain't got the money to pay it, and I check the bottom line, it's a zero balance. I'm going to try one more time. I did it. I confessed I did it. I'm on the book. And I know I can't cover all that I did. Yet when I check the bottom line, I don't owe nothing for it.
Thank you, Lord.
This, my friends, I'm going to hurry. I done held you too long already. This, my friends, is where you learn and appreciate the principle between punishment and discipline. Lord have mercy. Because there are two aspects of forgiveness. One is judicial forgiveness, and the other is parental forgiveness. And judicial forgiveness is the forgiveness you and I need from the ultimate punishment. Because you can't pay your bill, you suffer getting cut off, you suffer being cut on, you suffer all kinds of stuff when you don't have sufficient funds to pay what you owe. You get cut off. But as a Christian, when you fall short, you don't have to keep going back and worry about a punishment, but you must endure discipline. Judicial has to do with the punishment, but parental had to do with the parent. That because God doesn't see you as an enemy, God sees you as his child. So God would not dare cut off his children, but what he will do is discipline, because who the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Lord have mercy. And here some of you are, because you fell short, because you messed up, you condemning yourself. Because you don't let somebody tell you, God go get you, and God go strike you down, and God go send a tornado, and God go send a hurricane, and God go take that from you. God don't have to do none of that as long as you got word in your heart. God knows how to chastise and get on his own children. And I refuse to keep letting people who don't have a walk with God talk to me about how God disciplined me. Just because you don't see me be condemned, that's your problem, not mine. I'm going to get up, dust myself off, improve myself, walk in the word, and I'm going to walk on in victory. Stop letting church folk condemn you. Stop letting people condemn you. They can't correct you, but no, there is therefore now no condemnation. I want to help somebody. You know, y'all, whoopings didn't bother me. The talks. Will you please just not talk to me and just beat me, please? I know I did it, okay? I know I'm by myself. I know I did it. I know you mad at me. Will you beat me and let me go? The worst punishment I could get, the worst discipline, was sitting there listening to a horrible talk. And that's why some of y'all don't like Bible study. That's why some of y'all don't like Sunday school. That's why some of y'all don't like church, because you'd rather God zap you, but God ain't gonna zap you. God gonna teach you and correct you. Because you wanna, Lord have mercy, you wanna do you how you would do you. Y'all sit down. I'm through. Look, the most heartbreaking discipline or punishment for me was knowing that I disappointed my parents. You could say a lot. They could say a lot. They could cuss me. They ain't bother me none. You stupid. Thank you. You just as ignorant. Yes, ma'am. You know what? You disappointed me. Oh, mama, no. Because you don't want to hurt who's keeping you. You don't want to hurt who's taking care of you. And that's what sin does, y'all. It hurts God's feelings. And because I don't want to offend God, it's some stuff I just don't do. Because I know how my daddy feels about it. And knowing that he would be disappointed is punishment within itself. That judicial and then parental forgiveness. And people think that because you go through stuff, you may be enduring punishment. I might be enduring discipline. Because if I tell players that I coach that if I stop talking to you, be worried. That means I done cut you off. I'm not even wasting more time with you. But if I'm always on you, it's because I still care about you and I want the very best out of you. That's all God is saying to you today. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I love you like you are, but I love you too much to let you stay like that. And I don't understand, y'all, why people don't want to be a Christian. Why would you not want to be a Christian? Here's what we don't understand about Christianity. Every other religion these folks chasing, you got to be something. You got to meet some kind of requirement before you can be in. If you go be a Muslim, you got to stop eating pork chops and bacon. And y'all know y'all raised on that stuff. You can't just stop that cold turkey. Everything about you, you raised on neck bones and pot liquor. You ain't had no formula. You had pot liquor from Greens. That's how I was raised. Gerber? Gerber, really? Big Mama. Was Gerber. Snuff.
Amen.
I ain't had no business. I'm through. I ain't had no business 3 years old dipping snuff. Am I Red Seal? Am I lying? Muslims, you gotta discipline yourself. And to be a Buddhist, you got to have this all kind of knowledge. But Christianity is not about what you do. Christianity is about accepting what's been done for you. It's the only religion where you ain't got to be nothing to accept it. You just have to accept it and you become that. Flaws and all. You check your account. You look at it. Look what Paul says. He says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You got a balance zero. You don't owe nothing for your sin. Here's why. Because the record you see so far is past. All you see right now is what you've done before this moment. You don't see what you finna do, what you plotting next year. So you need something that's gonna cover you past, present, and future. Because I might run out of money, but I'll never run out of Jesus. Lord have mercy. And you check your balance, you check your book. You'll see the stain of sin, and you'll see that you've been saved from, you'll be saved from being the penalty of it. You'll be saved from the sentence of being condemned forever. And you ask yourself, why? How? Because, you know, y'all are kind of knowledgeable. Y'all want to know. You're nosy. I was trying to find a nice way to say it, but I can't say it. No. Some of y'all just nosy. And you want to know why, who, where, when. Over 2,000 years ago. You had a Savior who substituted. That over 2,000 years ago, he took your sin, past, present, future. Everything that was on your book, is on your book, will be on your book, he's already paid for. He became what you had to pay. Look at it. Blotting out, look what Paul says. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Yes, sir. This is, you know what shocks me? It's not so much the ordinances, it's the handwriting. Because somebody had to be telling on me. Because who gonna write your own sin? Somebody had to write what you've been doing. Because that's what the devil is. He is an accuser. He is an accuser of the brethren. Diabolos. That's what he does. He accuses. When he is Satan, he is accusing the brethren. And every day he's bringing charges against me and you. Every day he's bringing charges. Why would you bless them? Look what they did. Why would you keep them? Look how they acted. Why would you give them something else? Look how they're doing you. They don't deserve you. They ain't acting like your child. And then your great counselor steps in again. Your Honor, I stand in now as the substitute for the client. Yes, the client did it, but I already paid the price for everything the client has already done. And all God the judge can do is say, case dismissed. I wish I had somebody else here today who understands that everything that you've done, will do, has already been pinned to the cross. I can live in victory today because I had a substitute. He came everything I needed to be. He became sin before I knew sin. He didn't know sin himself, but he became sin, and he died on the cross. It was nailed to the cross to never be able to plague me again. Somebody tell God, thank you for sending me a substitute. Thank you, Lord, for taking my place. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And when you see this principle, when you see this principle, when you see it, you had law. Law is you did it and deserve to die, spiritually and physically. But you see mercy on the other side. Where did mercy come from? God was merciful. God should have done away with us, but he does not do away with us. Because in the middle of law and mercy is grace. Hey, it's the grace of God. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our big brother, who died just for us. And so I can't help it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because now you don't have to use your money to pay off a sin debt. Because you don't have to use your resources to pay off sin, you got money interest that's been accrued. And God not gonna take the interest. He leaves the interest on your books. So that every time you look at what's been done for you, I'm gonna look in my account and I'm gonna give him glory. I'm gonna lift my hands. I'm gonna tell him thank you. I'm gonna shout for joy. I'm gonna pray even more. I'm gonna read even more. I'm gonna work to forgive others. I'm gonna be light in the midst of darkness. I'm gonna be a blessing. I'm done. That's it. And before we go into what somebody did to us, I want you to look at what you've been doing. And if the Lord can take it, and he died for us, you can handle a little lie. You can handle disappointment. It's a principle. You gonna be more like Jesus. It don't mean I take the same stuff, because it must come to some discipline. And with discipline come better decisions. But these sins, y'all, were not unintentional. Every last one of these sins, you meant it. You did it on purpose. Be honest with yourself. But you ain't getting in trouble on purpose. And the Lord delivered you on purpose. And our goal is to, as much grace as we've been given, that we in turn give as much grace. Yeah. scripture records this, that God, as the righteous judge, will judge us according to our own measure of mercy. If you hadn't been merciful to our people, don't be expecting God to be merciful with you. You ain't going to hell, but it's some blessings he got for you that you go mean yourself out of. That you're going to bitter yourself out of if you don't release it and start being more gracious. Why is it people only get one time with you, but God deal with you every day? You only get one time to mess over me. How many times you done messed over God? He don't act funny with you. He don't give you silent treatment. And you will be judged. You and I will be judged. Not according to how many songs you sang, how many times you at church, but the measure of grace and mercy you gave other people. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All for Jesus to you now. All for Jesus. When you check your account, you can't pay it off. People tell you, you know, I'll come when I get myself together. There's no such thing, my brother, my sister. There's no such thing. It's getting yourself together. Today is about you and God. Are you and God in good standing? You can have an 800 credit score and still not pay off sin. You ain't got enough credit to pay off sin. There's some things, y'all, money can't buy. Won't you come today? If you're not saved, today's a good day to be saved, really saved. You may have grew up in church, you may be working in church, but if you hadn't grown up in God, this would be a good day to come to Him. The auditor is coming. He's coming to check our books. And when you turn the page, you're gonna see how much mercy you've been giving others. In this series, we're gonna turn the page. We look at what we owe and what's been covered. And we're going to start looking now at who owe us. And have we allowed the Lord to cover them? Today is about you and God. Are you and God all right? Are you and God in good standing? Have you let people problems cause you and God to be further apart? If I were you, I wouldn't let pride, what people say, stop me today. Because you got to stand before Him yourself. And y'all, I gotta tell you this, it's a sin to hold stuff in your heart. It's a sin. See, we think about sins as drinking, sex, gambling. The internal sins we have are way worse and more dangerous. The stuff that people don't know we holding against others. Is it worth your soul? Is it worth your soul? To forgive means to remit, to let it go, to take what they owe off. Now, it doesn't mean, look what the Lord does. On that book, He don't take away, He don't erase it. He leaves it there for you and I to see just how far He brought us. We want to say it, y'all, because we don't want to deal with what we've done. But sometimes I like seeing some reminders so I can know where He brought me from.